Hi. How are you? Good. Just a couple comments before I get started. One, I just wanted to say a very big thanks from our family for the servant leadership barn raiser group who came in and demolished our yard. In a good way, that is. Completely helped us clean up some things, so that was very nice. We printed out some pictures for you, those who were there. And we'll stick those on the bulletin board for after services today. So if you want to take a look at that, and a little thank you card up there as well. Also like to say that those who missed the church camp out, it was very nice. It was a very nice camp out. Very good to sit together and eat everybody else's food. That was the nicest part, kind of hopping from campsite to campsite and just kind of filling up, you know. But it's very nice. We had a very good time there, very good weather on Saturday and most of Friday as well, and wanted to just say a special thanks to Trent and Tina, and especially Tina, because I know that she did most of the work to arrange for the camp, so thank you all very much for that. That was very nice. Well, what we're doing today is we are going to graduate and explain what we have been doing this past year for the youth education program. So that's from the young kids all the way up to the young adults. So what we'll do is we'll take that in two stages though. First of all, I will talk about this morning. Let me just give us first a very brief overview message to talk about the importance of education and teaching and why we're actually instituting these programs in the church to train our youth. And then what I will do after that is, this first section is I will graduate those who graduated from the youth program, or I mean the young adults or the teens Bible study program this year. Then what we'll have during the sermonette time is Mr. Luker will explain a little bit more about what the younger age groups did with their programs and then graduate them with that. So with that, let me give just a brief overview message and explain why we have these programs in the church in the first place. Let's turn very quickly to just a couple scriptures, Isaiah 2:3 to start with, just to lay the groundwork of the importance of education and the importance of passing that on. And Isaiah 2:3 lays in a very important cornerstone concept to this entire process when it says, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now this is a scripture that's talking about millennial times, a future time, but there are also many parallels that happen to today. The important point to understand about this is that in the future, the whole entire world will want to go up and to be taught by the source of where we look for information from, and that is God. That is his law, his word, his way, and his, it says here, Jerusalem and Zion. So Jerusalem and Zion are a couple of things, and they mean a couple of things. Zion is a spiritual type of the church itself. So there will be those who are kings and priests who will be teaching others. And the important point to bring out of the scripture, though, is that there is a central place, there is a foundational place that we should always think about and always go back to, and that is to look back to God, his word, his way, his law, and his church today for those teachings. So it's not good enough just to kind of be off on our own all the time. The important point to remember is that we must always come back and look and ask and pray to God and look to those who he has given authority and given the power to preach his word on this earth. And today, that would equate to his church in modern day spiritual terms. So we look forward to the day when everyone will want to come up and be taught by God. But in the meantime, we need to understand that it all originates from God, and we all have to look back to God, his word, his church, for that spiritual foundation. Secondly, let's go to another important point to add to this, and that's in Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. Because it's not just enough for us to take in and hear these words. It's not just enough for us to hear them and kind of, you know, bottle them up. There's an important next step that we must take in God's word, and that's in Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. It says, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So those are things that they actually had back in that time where There were different types of ways that they could wrap up the law, say in a little package, or they put it, you know, kind of up physically on their forehead. But when we think about that today, we should think about that in a spiritual sense. And that is really to say that if we, you know, for example, have this frontlet between our eyes, really think about what's right there between our eyes, and that's our mind or our brain or our thoughts. And what God is saying is that we should bind those, we should continually have that on the forefront of our thoughts, His law, His way, right there in front of us at all times. But verse 19 brings out a very key point, which says, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, and that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. So there's a couple of things to notice here, that God says that there has to be an active process where primarily the responsibility is on the parent to teach their children God's way. It's not enough to just learn. The cycle must be moved forward, and that it's an important foundational thing for us to take that knowledge and to actually instill it and teach it to our children. Exactly how is described here in these few verses right here, because it says that we must do that, you know, when we sit in our house, when we walk along the way, when we lie down, and when we rise up. That's basically I think that kind of encapsulates an entire day worth of activities, if you think about it. And what's important to note here is God just says, speak these things. So there's two aspects of this, really. The first aspect of this is that you actually have to speak them or talk them. And a lot of times, I think it's easy to take for granted where you actually heard or learned, you were taught by someone, whether it be a minister or a reading or a booklet or a friend or your parents. Someone actually had to speak the words for you to hear. So a very important point with our children is that we must speak these words to them, and it's saying at all times of the day, as you're sitting around, as they wake up, as they're going to sleep, speak and talk and kind of make an envelope around the day's activity to explain God's way to them. But if we stop there, I don't think we get the full picture or we get the full teaching effect, because the part that we also must do, and that is also brought out in this concept of when you rise up and lie down, is that you as a teacher must be living those laws. You can't teach without living those laws. Well, the entire concept of this scripture is talking about teaching and training, not only speaking, but it must be an example or something that's actually demonstrated as well. Those two concepts, speaking with your mouth as well as living it or demonstrating or training by example, must go together. Those two things must be in lockstep with each other. If they're out of sync, then the teaching is not effective. It won't last. It won't be real. It won't make the impact that it should make. So the concept of this scripture really is a lifelong process, day in, day out, in the forefront of our thoughts, speaking it to our children, and then living it all day and all night so that they actually see and they feel the example. So you'll notice that it is important to pass this information on. Primarily, the Bible defines that as the responsibility of the parent. But as we see also, the church is the place where we hear these words. So the church plays an important part in this educational process. And that church piece is what we are here to talk about basically today. So let's wrap this part up by one last scripture. And I will just quote this, if you have time to turn there, Matthew 18, verse 2. Because there's a third dimension to the entire teaching process that we need to think about, a very important one that a lot of times we don't think about. And that's Matthew 18, verse 2. This is a story that you're probably all very familiar with, where it says, Jesus called a little child to him, and he set him in the midst of them, and he said, "Surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." To complete the cycle, we also learn from our children. So there is a teaching that actually goes back the other way. And if you think about it, what type of things do we learn from our children? Because Christ specifically pulls out certain examples that are in this scripture. The one he mentions by name is humility. If you ever take, just take a second sometime to watch your children or watch other children and just how they interact with other people and what they do with other kids. And you'll find there's some very amazing things and dynamics that take place. Because I know, like with my children, they'll just walk up to anyone. It doesn't matter who they are. You know, and they'll say hi, or they'll kind of, you know, be friends with that person. It doesn't matter, you know, who that person is, what their background is. They don't really care. They're very friendly. You also notice that part of the humility aspect is that when they're done wrong to, another kid does something to them, it may hurt for a little bit, but you know what? They quickly let it go. They quickly just get up and keep on playing. Right? There's a lot of kind of emotional traits and aspects that are very simplistic, very basic, but very much needed. And Christ says, when he says, become like little children, he's saying, study the children. Look at them. Learn from that simplicity and that humility and that way that they work with others, and then it comes back that way. So the educational process is kind of summed up in these three scriptures. One, the source is God. The source is his word. The source is modern-day Zion. Partly it's his church. That is the source of where we learn this information from. Secondly, the circle has to move forward by us taking that and actively teaching that to our children, both by words and by deeds. And those two must be in step. And then thirdly, to complete the circle, the teacher also must be always willing to learn and to look at those children and be able to say, you know what, there are so many things that I can learn from these children that I should learn. So as a basis, we see that it's very important to teach our children. And so what we've done in the Seattle church area is we have set up some programs that contribute to this entire process. So the programs are basically grouped for different age groups and are age group appropriate. So for some of the younger kids, it's very important for them to understand that in the teaching process, in God's Word, that it's a fun thing. So with a mixture of teaching, there's a mixture of activities that also happen. Now as we move up into the youth group, which I was able to lead this year and set up a program for our teens. And what I'd like to do is just kind of show you some of the things that we did this year in this program. Basically what we had is we started out with our teens this year by giving every single one of them a notebook. And this notebook is intended to be the thing that you bring to class and you take notes in and you get whatever handouts are given, you put these inside of the notebook. Now what we did at the start though was I presented a list of topics. I think we had probably about 30 different topics that might be interesting to the youth. And we had them all sit down in a kind of different teams. We had basically three teams. And those three teams got to decide as a whole team which one of these topics they would like to talk about this year. So we went around the room and we let them pick which of these topics interests them the most. We also threw in kind of, if there are topics that you don't see on there, what would you like to see in addition to these topics? So most of the topics were picked with the exception of two. The two topics that we had not covered that the teams wanted to cover this year was Introduction to Prophecy and the Minor Prophets. So that was very interesting because it came about, I think the teams had a Bible study over at someone's house during the week and they were going through the book of Obadiah. And going through the book of Obadiah, they became very interested in what it meant. So they wanted to discuss that more and just the general purpose of the minor prophets. So with that, we picked a number of topics. And if I just read down what the topics are this year, we basically had Introduction to Prophecy, A Christian's Life in the World, What is Your Destiny, Dating, Comparing World Religions, The Purpose of the Minor Prophets, The Authority of the Bible, and then the Gospel of the Kingdom. So basically we had eight lessons that we went to, and what we would do is for the lessons, if you can kind of see this, we had a number of instructors that were involved in this process that were responsible for making up the lesson. So basically the idea was that they would come with a lesson plan already printed out, for example, Introduction to Prophecy, that had a number of things. It had a number of background items, it had a number of kind of discussion items, and then some questions. So the format of these Bible studies was half teaching, and then we had half interaction, which is the youth got to answer questions and kind of, you know, contribute to the conversation. And I can tell you that we had some very, very, very spiritually meaty and in-depth conversations this year. I can tell you that. Amazing to me to see the depth of understanding after a lot of people have been sitting in the audience for a number of years, how deep they understood these concepts. So we had some very good discussions that we had. So basically, each lesson was on a piece of paper, and maybe there were some supplemental materials. So you bring your notebook, you put your questions and things in here, you can take notes on that, and then you just put whatever supplemental material is. So by the end of the year, what they end up with is a notebook full of lessons, entire lessons and supplemental materials. So each one of the teams in this area has one of these. But we didn't stop there, because we wanted to make this a little bit more structured and a little bit more of a challenge. So we threw in the mix a couple of things. One, we had midterms. So what we had is midterms and final exams for this. So we ran it like a real program. And the key thing, though, that is that the midterms and the final exams were open book and open Bible. So pretty much if you came to class, you got your notes, you put them in, took it, and got all your supplemental material, there's really nothing to be afraid of when you hit those final exams. You can open that up and just, you know, search through all of your notes and things. And basically all the questions were taken directly off of these pieces of paper. So let me just read you a couple of sample questions that we had from the midterms. One is, this is for prophecy. List three words to let you know that you're reading about prophecy in Scripture. A Christian's life in the world, what does the term world mean in the Bible? How would you describe that? What three chapters of the Bible are key for painting a vision of our destiny? And then on dating, name two differences between dating and courting. And then I threw a bonus question in there as well for each one of these, and the bonus on the midterm was, who is God really fighting against at his return? And I can tell you, almost every single person got 100% on these tests. Okay? Almost every single person in the class got 100%. Let me read a few questions off the final exam. Comparing world religions. What movement in the 20th century attempts to work for total Christian unity across sects among Christians? Purpose of the Minor Prophets. Why do you think the Minor Prophets are called the Minor Prophets? That was an interesting discussion. Authority of the Bible. What are the four main ways to prove the accuracy of the Bible? Which of these is most important and helps you personally know that the Bible is accurate? Gospel of the Kingdom. What did the Apostle Paul feel should be done to those who perverted the true gospel message? And here's a real kind of clincher. This is a bonus question. There is one major prophet that is not grouped in the latter prophets. Which one is it, and which group of books does it really belong to? So if you want to know the answers to any of those questions, you will see the people who can answer those questions standing up here in just a minute. So if you want to know the answer to that, ask any single one of them. They'll be able to pull out their book and answer that for you. And then one of the last questions that I asked on the finals was, list one thing that you've applied practically in your life as a result of something you learned in these Bible studies. So let me just read a couple of those comments just to see what, you know, the people in the audience were saying. One said, to pray for God's kingdom before praying for our own personal needs and the needs of others. Another person said, in Bible study, I now look for prophetic key words when I'm reading. Another person said, I learned that it's okay to date just as long as you don't get romantically involved if you're not serious about the person. Another said, I study the Bible more, and it reminded me of how much more I need to do so. Another person said, as I have applied the information I learned from comparing world religions to further prove my own beliefs. They have given me a place to start for studies, and I would like to continue on my own in the future. Another one said, I have examined my own life, and I've seen what I can do to become a better Christian, to follow in Christ's footsteps. I have tried to stay away from sinful thoughts and actions by praying and studying my Bible. I believe I spent a lot more time with God than I did a year ago. Another person said, go ye therefore into all the world, inspires me to be open and praising God in the music of my, or in the music and the lyrics that I write. And another said, thanks for the wonderful program. I've been able to be a light to the world better as I try to be a good example thanks to the incredible examples around me. So you can see there's a number of comments as people really are starting to think about, you know, what they learn and how that they can apply these things out. So with that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to basically graduate all of the youth, teens, young adults who participated in the Seattle Bible study course for 2001. And what I'll do is I'll ask my trusty assistant, LG Gibson, will help me out here. For graduation today, I know that we're missing a couple of people, but that's all right. We will get these to them later. We have made up a nice certificate for them to express that they have completed this, signed by our pastor, Mr. Luker. And we've also decided as a church that it'd be very important to contribute something to the teens and young adults. So what we decided to do this year as a church is to start building their Bible reference library for them. So we have purchased a copy of Howie's Bible Handbook for everyone so that those who graduate from the class can take this. This is a very good book. It's very concise, small, easy to read, very easy to understand, and a good overview of a lot of the concepts that you find in the Bible. So beyond the Bible, we're going to take this to the next step. We're going to give them a Bible handbook so they can start to do a little bit more research and work, and we'll make use of this in next year's program as well. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to step through and call out each person's name. And if you could just come on up here on the stage, and we'll stand over here by Mr. Gibson, and he'll hand you your certificate as well as a Bible handbook. So the first person is Emily Bohannick. So I think I saw her here. She can always come later. She's not. So these are in alphabetical order. No particular embarrassment order am I doing this in, but just alphabetical order. So Emily Bohannick, when she's back. Sean Braxton. I don't think I saw Sean. Is Sean here? Sean's not here. Okay. Orette Marie Anderson. Is she here? She participated in our classes this year. So I don't believe she's here. We'll get this to her at another time as well. Ryan Ellis. Is Ryan here? Ryan's not here. Mike's not here. Ryan's not here. Those two are twins, so. Okay. Chad Gibson. We have a winner. We have a winner. Joe Lehman. Is Shane Mullen here? Okay. So they may show up later. They're coming?
They're coming.
Okay, I'll hang on to these and we'll get them up here in just a second. We'll surprise the dickens out of them in a second. Okay, so Shane Mullen. Aaron Persons. Congratulations, man. There you go. Luke Persons. Sasha Fowle. So the others have shown up in the back. So let's. I'm going to back up for just a second. We will start is Emily Bohannick here. Sean Braxton, is he here? No, he didn't show. Okay. Okay, and we have Ryan Ellis. And Shady Mullins. Avery Powers. Is Avery here? Not here? Okay. Maria Pruitt. Aaron Roscoe. While she's walking up, Glenn Roscoe. So we have Audra Ross. Is she here? Okay. Logan Smith. I think I saw Logan. I know Travis and Tyler aren't here, so if you don't mind covering for them. Okay. There you go. Danny Stachowiak. Following close behind is Zachary Stachowiak. And last but not least, Michael True. And there was one additional thing that we did. That is, we set something up at the beginning to say that you could also graduate with honors, which is to say that you will make every class, you're allowed one exception, and you pass the midterms and the finals. If you do all that, you make that effort, then we graduate you with honors. So how many people think they graduate with honors? Raise your hand. Okay, all right, so what we did is we added an additional little gift. And that is a Bible study pen, which has non-bleeding ink, in different colors, so you can highlight your Bible and it doesn't bleed through the page. So those who graduated with honors will get one of these pens as well. So I know that's a V, Michael True. Zach. Aaron. He looked young, I'm sorry. And then I think we have Aaron. Very good. So I'd also like to just say a very quick thanks to those who also helped prepare the lessons this year. So that was Gilbert Javier. We also have Mr. Gibson behind me. We have Hank Bradley who helped out as well. Mrs. Luker gave an excellent one on dating, and we also gave Logan Smith a run this year, so he taught one of the classes as well. So with that, we'd like to thank you all very much for your support, and good job, you guys. Thanks. Okay, and with that, I am finished.